Indeed, 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 with our very special guest tonight, Stephen Quayle, and we'll be back with Stephen in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Stephen Quayle. We're going to take your phone calls with Stephen here. Do you believe the fallen angels are on the planet again right now?
Yes, I do.
Explain.
I believe there are, and I believe the majority is yet to come. It's so hard to imagine a realm that is myth and legend and ancillary or almost exculpatory sometimes evidence, but these guys, George, the Illuminati and Luciferians, those guys believe in it. Obviously, the Bible teaches that Lucifer was a cherub, the anointed cherub that was in the garden, and when God created man in his image and likeness, there seemed to be some issue there with pride, and obviously the light bringer, which he was, he came Satan the adversary. There are people that argue that point, but Isaiah 14 and some of the oldest texts in the Bible teach that specifically, even the serpent in the garden. And now we've got a whole, David Icke and others have rightly, in many cases, shown the reptilian presence, and I can take you to not only artist renderings, but actual Aztec drawings of Quetzalcoatl, and it shows them as basically the same type of creature that the first series of V looked like. So whether they patterned it after that or they were told that by the intelligence community, but I was told also that the species of aliens, the different species of aliens, is equal to the different species of insects. So if we're going to see insects coming out of the bottomless pit, and those things look like the most metamorphosized conglomeration of strangeness that's ever been, you know, penned, I think that people better see it for what it is. You and I talked about the movie Splice, and I made the statement, now that it's been out, I won't ruin the plot, although somebody accused me of that. How does something genetically altered in a laboratory, starting from finish, sprout wings at the end of the movie and turn into a giant? Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Okay, and I wouldn't recommend it, but I'm just saying that that's, and we talked about that. So now we've got the transhumanists, and we've got the people that are believing that machines will become spiritual. So even in Greek mythology, they had artificial, if you will, steel men that the gods gave power to. And in my book, I deal with all those different things because I maintain that the demigods of history were the fallen angels. Because of their size, their knowledge, and their power, they were seen as gods. So when you get the Hercules and you get all the different monsters of Greek mythology and the Cyclops and all of the, I mean, there's just so many different things. The Old Testament, the Bible talks about the lion men of Moab, which I have an illustration. By the way, my website is spelled, somebody's asked me if it's spelled like the bird. No, it's Steve, STEVEQUAYLE.com. And probably the best book, and my books are only available from my website, that I have that really helps people understand this stuff is Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race. And I don't rehash in my new book hardly anything with the exception of Genesis 1, 1, and 1, 2. So it's 480 pages with 680 new footnotes, and I start to finish. And there's really, after I do that, George, I'm convinced there's nothing more I can say until it plays out in real time.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Grand Rapids. It's Angel, east of the Rockies. Take it away. Hi, Angel.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good to have you with us. Good.
Awesome show. Steve, back in 2006, I met my other half, and I am an angel, and I know that I am chosen. And everything that you say, it is so dead on. There are fallen angels who are very bad because I come up against them every day. But what I need to know, with all of the weather manipulation and all of the earthquakes and everything that's happening, now with me living in Michigan, being surrounded by the Great Lakes, the new Madrid fault line, what do I need to do? What do you see?
Well, first of all, you know, everybody has to prepare to the best of their ability. Now, I don't know exactly where you're at, but I would suggest you get that Navy map that I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, I'll post it. I'll have my webmaster Holly Dale posts that tomorrow so everyone can see the map I'm talking about. The thing that you've got to do ultimately is at the first sign of what are called long period episodic quakes. They're different than harmonic tremors. A long period episodic quake would be earthquakes on a level of 4, 5, 5, 5 just happening and continuing on day after day after day. That will be the warning sign that the thing is going to go off. And obviously we had some intermittent episodic quakes along the New Madrid, but I can't tell you what to do. That's, I wish I knew, but I'm in the same boat you are. I say, you know, I have to seek God and ask him for his direction. I can't give people individual direction because I don't know. But what I can tell people is probably one of the most important things to do is Standeo has been on Coast to Coast with George in the last couple of weeks. His wife, Holly, writes the best preparedness manual that's ever been written, in my opinion. I used to publish my own, so I'm saying something by saying that. The thing is that it's called Dare to Prepare. It's probably the best foundational beginning to tell you all the things you have to even consider, including relocation.
Okay, Angel, thanks. Let's go to Joey in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Joey, welcome to the show.
Morning, gentlemen. I have a question for you, Steve. Are you familiar with end time wealth transfer?
I'm familiar with what the television evangelists call that, but go ahead. Yes, I am. If that's what you're talking about, that's how I relate to that.
Okay, I'm talking about global settlements, prosperity packages, things that are supposed to be released in regards to the Iraqi dinar. So
I will tell you this. You can Google Iraqi dinar or dinar. I think that's how they pronounce it, and you'll see that the people that have investigated it are calling it a fraud. I have probably talked to 20 people who have called me on that, and I can only tell you this, that if you'll Google it, I think you'll find your answer to it. I don't personally believe it's legitimate. The fact that we control Iraq, meaning the United States at this point, and whatever point they bring on the Bancor or a new form of currency. And by the way, I'm being told by the insiders that the United States will have a two-tier currency, one that will trade only within this country and only good in this country, and it won't do you any good outside the country. And then there will be a global currency backed by a basket of commodities that everyone will trade. So we're in this country as the United States of America, and I would call it, and truthfully now, the disunited states of what once was America. I don't believe the Iraqi dinar is even worth putting any money into.
Okay, gotcha. That's fine. I can appreciate that. But what about these global settlements, prosperity packages, things that are supposed to be released to the American people, which was stopped during 9/11? That's one of the reasons 9/11 did happen.
I'm familiar with that, but I would say this. The two biggest ruling families behind the New World Order, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, will never allow that to happen.
Why not, Stephen?
Well, they're not your friend. Listen, Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil. The control of money is the control of all evil. These guys are not the tooth fairies, okay? They are not. They're in the process of stripping the American middle class. There's 44 million people, close to 44 million people, on food stamps. The homes have gone into foreclosure on a level that isn't even honest because banks are keeping them off the books. And you've got the problem, simply this, there are no jobs in America because all of our manufacturing capability has been moved offshore. So the point is that, I believe it's a pipe dream, but I don't personally believe it will happen.
All right, Peggy in Derby, Kansas, it's your turn. Hi, Peggy.
Well, gentlemen, for 30 years, I have received every month, on the third of the month, a check in the mail. The third of this month, I opened it up, and inside there was a statement telling me that on 2013, there would no longer be mail delivery of Social Security checks. You have to open a bank account if you want to receive your money. So the government took away my free choice of what I want. And I do not believe in banks because I lived when Roosevelt froze the banks of what was a bank holiday for 3 years. And I grew up with my daddy telling me, never put any more in the bank than you can afford to lose.
Well, I believe your daddy was a smart man. I believe you're a smart woman. And I think by 2015, things will be so different that you won't even have to worry about money in the classic sense of the word. You'll be worried about bartering. And you know that during the Great Depression, that the barter was the way doctors got paid and people ate and people traded. Unfortunately, to qualify your point, I think 1,000 banks went to the Fed window to borrow as little as $1,000. That means that a lot of the banks are insolvent. That's pathetic, in my opinion. I think you're very wise, but I think you're wise to do what you do now, but I don't think you need to worry about 2015, because I don't think banks as you know them will exist by then.
Well, they may not. Cash may not exist the way it does, Stephen.
Absolutely, and the caller made a good point. Everybody's going to be forced ultimately into a universal currency with what's been called the mark of the beast. And however they're going to do that, they'll make it so sound. Well, I'll give you a good example. If they should declare a jubilee and say everyone's debt is forgiven, but you just got to take this mark and you don't owe on a mortgage, you don't owe anything, we're going to give you $1,000, $2,000 a month, I think the lines would be, you know, around the equator for that deal.
Next up, let's go to Lorianne in British Columbia. Hey, Lorianne, thanks. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is a really good show, you guys. Steve, I wanted to ask you, I wanted to tell you something first. 4 years ago, I was staying outside of a hospital. My daughter just had my grandson, and I was on my cell phone talking to her father. And when I got off the phone, this woman comes right over to me, and she goes, "That is the root of evil."
She said, "What is the root of evil?"
The cell phone technology.
Well, let me say this. I would disagree with her. I would say that's the fruit of evil. As you probably know, cell phones can be tracked.
Exactly, yes.
I wouldn't call it the root of evil. The root of evil is the ultimate rebellion behind those who yield to that rebellion and then control those by the technology that issues from the rebellion. So I would think her statement would have been more correct to say it's the fruit and not the root.
Yeah. Right.
If that helps you any.
It does. I have one more question. Earlier on, you said the names Gog and Magog.
Yes, ma'am.
What does that mean? Because I read a book, this Canadian author, Lucy Maud Montgomery, she had two porcelain dogs and called them Gog and Magog. That's the first time I ever heard that until tonight.
Okay, well, they're in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet, 38 and 39 chapter, talks about Gog and Magog. They were two tribes in where some people say modern-day Russia, some people say more in the steppes, wherever they were. But interestingly enough, Gog and Magog are also two giants that preside over the city of London. The city of London is a separate entity within the country of Great Britain, but they have a celebration every day where they haul out these two giants named Gog and Magog. And the British Isles are filled with stories and legends and historical accounts of giants. For instance, Jack and the Beanstalk, Finn McCoo in Ireland. There's so many illustrations of that. So Gog and Magog were tribes ultimately ruled by giants, which were the offspring of fallen angels. And the city of London today, if you just Google it, and it'll give you a lot of background, Gog and Magog plus London, I think you'll be surprised at what you find. And guess what? London is still considered the financial capital of the world.
Steve,
really?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the call. Steve, tell me a little bit more about this push for this one world government, total control, and why they want to do it.
Well, first of all, if you control it and you can, the total information awareness is the Illuminati's, the Luciferians' attempt at knowing everything they can about you in order to determine who's going to go with them and who's not going to go with them. By rewarding those who submit to them, that's the only way that a person is going to be able, in their mind, I'm not saying this is the case, but in their mind, be able to eat or function. Now, obviously, the Bible says that whoever takes that mark, it's only the mark of the beast is when the mark, the actual beast, some people prefer to call him the Antichrist, But the one who exalts himself amongst above God, he's going to cause all to be numbered. And if you don't take that number, then you're martyred. So the point is control. It's always control, George. That's they want to control everyone. And that's even getting so bad. Well, let's just take TSA. Who would have ever thought that you'd have people fondled or groped? Jesse Ventura's lawsuit. Others, when you see the ludicrous nature of it, and then who would have ever thought that the scanners that they've been saying are safe, 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 one day, a couple months later, they're finding out that the results of the tests on how safe they were faked. Well, I maintain that it's all designed to ultimately kill mankind. If you run a pregnant woman through a scanner like that, she's going to be exposed to radiation. And by the way, I'm posting tomorrow a horrible bunch of pictures of what happens to babies that are exposed to radiation. Even the depleted uranium in Iraq, it's just ghastly and horrid. So what the doctors that published the article and wrote the article are saying, we are dismissing the radiation threat, although the radiation threat here is nowhere near what it's like in Japan. They're saying that the Japanese are going to be dealing with birth defects for the next 20 years that are going to be horrific. So, again, I think the great disconnect over the Fukushima reactors, and now there's some indication that maybe the earthquake did some damage to the second pod of reactors south of there. I think, and I don't know how to pronounce it correctly, but the Ibaki Prefecture or down the coast. But the thing is that the idea of everyone having to take the card is right out of the Book of Revelation, or take the mark. The card is a preliminary step in it. At some point, it goes on as a stencil, a laser tattoo, or even a smart dust or a smart dot. Hitachi came out with a dot that can carry so much information that it's almost astonishing. And I've been told that, again, by the people that are on the other side, Quayle thinks it's to come. It's already here. And so I thank you, gentlemen, for correcting me. It is already here. It is already being implemented. And when you find out the senators that are pushing for it, for instance, John McCain and others, you go, okay, what could they possibly gain from this? Meanwhile, our southern borders are wide open. Our northern borders are closing. We've had events at the Palo Verde nuclear plant that most people don't know exist, because here's the prime directive of the U.S. military and U.S. government at this point. Under no circumstances can the American public be told the truth. That's why I'd encourage everybody, George, on my website, stevequayle.com, to go to the alerts section and read all the alerts that have been posted. This isn't me. This is other people providing information and then other people corroborating it. So the point is that they can make up their own decisions. But the idea of universal control, it goes right back to one of the Rothschild statements. Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who writes its laws. That's why people joke and say the United States government is the best bought and paid for government in the world.
All right, Stephen, stay with us. We'll come back with final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, of course, we'll be talking with Albert Taylor, Soul Traveler, a guide to out-of-body experiences and the wonders beyond. And when we come back with Stephen Quayle, we'll take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. We're with Stephen Quayle. We're going to go to Dallas, Georgia now. Steve's with us, first-time caller. Is that where you are, Steve?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello, George, and hello, Steve. Hello. I'm an evangelist with the Church of Christ, pretty conservative. And about 15 years ago, I realized that Jesus is coming back in my lifetime. Basically, due to the hypnotic or sabbatical pattern, I heard some teaching on that, and that got me going. Steve, anytime I bring up the return of Christ, I get looks like I'm an alien myself. I don't know if you encounter that from time to time.
All the time.
Yeah. What prompted me to call, I shot you a little email. I've got some teaching videos on YouTube, and I told you in the email how to get there. You made a statement about the return of Christ, that no man knows the day or the hour. In fact, I think it was you, George, that actually quoted that. And
yes.
That's one of the key things that I address is I hear this all the time. my brothers and sisters use that and they apply it to the return of Christ, I don't think it has anything to do with that subject. It has to do with the third question, which had to do with the end of the age. Too lengthy to get into, but Steve, if you check your emails, you'll see a short note there. If you check it out, it might help you just a little bit.
Well, let me share this too, and I appreciate that, and I will check it out. When it talks about the day and the hour of Jesus' return, we can know the seasons. We're told that we're not ignorant, brethren. We know what has to happen first. You'd agree with that, correct?
Yep. Go ahead, Steve.
So the point is that you're saying that the question doesn't even apply to the specific time of Jesus' return. I'm saying Jesus spoke of the time of his return as a seasonal statement. Now, you're the first guy I've ever heard that basically, and obviously the guy you got the teaching from, but I would say I respectfully disagree with that.
Okay, very good. James is next in Nevada. Go ahead, James, take it away.
Hey, Georgie, how's it going, Steve?
I'm doing okay.
I had a question for you guys. You're talking about how they can project maybe pictures of Jesus in the sky and then voices in your head. I was wondering if that might actually spark the apocalypse because, you know, I think the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me.
Well, I think it is going to spark the apocalypse because we're already maybe seeing that with the holographic projections of the red horse in Egypt and the green horse, the green horse in Egypt and then the red horse in Japan. So I think that someone is sending a message, whether they're actual spiritual apparitions, but I think it's important to understand the Gog-Magog war, Ezekiel 38 and 39, that the guys that are wanting to initiate the Gog-Magog war are setting the stage for that to take place. So they can be expected to use all the technology at their disposal. And I just sent to you, George, I just sent you something that Aaron sent me. It's an actual U.S. Paper linked to the Army Research Center on holographic displays using, interestingly enough, the chemtrail chemicals. And it's a PDF, and if you'll check your inbox. So I believe you're absolutely correct, caller. All you have to do is inflame the right group against the other group, and this is what these guys are absolutely perfectionists at. One of the famous banking families, Rothschild, said, we make more in one day of war than a year of peace. And so the Army Research Laboratory, this is 13 years old, says 3D holographic display using strontium barium niobate. So we're hearing all these reports now of the combination of the chemtrail spray that's been super saturated in the upper atmosphere, and now strontium isotopes along with iodine and cesium. I think it's the perfect global radioactive storm that is plan to take the life of a lot of people on the earth.
Steve, I got to commend you for the effort and the job that you've been doing publicly and privately over the last several years that I've known you. I mean, there aren't many people out there that stick their necks in the noose, and you do to get the word out.
Well, thank you, but I believe it's my calling I think you asked me that on one show, and my calling is this. I really hate the fact that people are being considered useless eaters. I said one time on your show, my favorite sound is the sound of children's laughter, and I think a smile. How many smiles have been wiped away from the American population? I see devastation, George. I deal with people whose lives are devastated. And to the degree that I'm able to help one of them or 100 of them, I can't help everybody, but I'll do anything I can to help someone. I have to limit this, and I do pray about it, but I think that people have got to realize this, that the church, the true church, and I'm not talking about the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, or any of that stuff, but the called-out ones have always had a concern. The Bible specifically teaches that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but he says his people That would be obviously followers of him are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if they're destroyed for lack of knowledge, and not because it isn't presented to them, but because it is rejected by them. I tell people it's like this. It's like the wrong time to call for a conference is when there are three people up against the wall and a firing squad, and they want to talk over what this means. And I think that's what too many people are in that category. They've got to recognize the obvious and deal with the obvious and not to worry about groupthink or communitythink when it's going to be individuals. Everybody who listens to this program individually has to act. Now, how would I act politically? I think with all of the ability to get news out there quickly, if you see some politician on a state or local level and federal level, I think there needs to be flash recall positions commensurate and equal to the law. If somebody is anti-constitutional, wanting to do away with any of their constitutional guarantees, and I actually am astonished that there have been no court challenges to date on what I would call a hate crime, where if the official position is if you believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, if you believe in God, if you're a veteran, you're an automatic terrorist or subject to terrorist claims. It's getting so bad that if you have matches and a pipe and you happen to be a plumber and you're a smoker, that can be prima facie evidence. So we've lost our way. And unless the people speak up, and I actually don't believe they will, they can speak up, but most of the time they complain. And I mean this, they have to take definitive action and recall the traitors, and I call them traitors, that have absolutely sold this country out. And I think people would be astonished if they found out that foreigners own the majority of the United States right now, and that our government has made secret deals with the Chinese and the different holders of our commercial paper. And I think it's criminal that people in this country do not have jobs, and that all of the jobs that were available, and I think there's going to be a backlash. I personally want to buy U.S. anytime I can. It doesn't matter to me the price. I want to support my fellow Americans. And I think that the first industries that start to relocate back to the United States, and if whatever time we have left, and I believe it's very short, but while you have an opportunity to buy locally, shop locally, instead of buying foreign furniture, go to a guy that can make you furniture out of logs. It'll be lasting longer and probably, you know, helping that guy feed his family. I think we've got to act.
You don't think it's too late, Stephen?
I do think it's too late, okay, and I actually qualified that by saying as much time as we may have left. I believe this fall, all hell will break loose. I believe that once the New Madrid goes off, I pronounced that wrong, New Madrid.
New Madrid.
So New Madrid goes off. We're going to see a world that changes so quickly. And I do believe, George, that if people want to preserve any of their wealth, they've got to look at silver. I think silver is the only way. And I started talking on Coast to Coast when silver was $6 an ounce. I had a guy call me today who wanted to thank me, and this is unsolicited, and he just said, I bought my first batch of gold from you at $275, thank you. I bought my first silver from you at $385. Now, that was almost a decade ago.
Oh, yeah. Can you believe that?
And he said, I was called a fool, but he said, that's what saved my family, Steve. And I said, thank you, Brad. Thank you very much. So, you know, the point is that ever since Max Kaiser said, buy an ounce of silver, break the silver shorts, there's only 700 million ounces of silver. And every time that people buy 1 ounce of silver, it takes 1 ounce of silver that they can't manipulate. And I believe that will be the currency of those outside of the system. And there's even now an attempt to make bartering illegal. You probably saw that story coming out of the Justice Department.
Okay, let's go. Yes, I did. Jim in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You're up with Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast, Jimmy.
Oh, guys. Hey, thank you so much for having me on this show.
Well, sure thing.
In shock here. Bear with me. Hey, I just had a question for Stephen about the New Madrid fault, but I wanted to mention quickly, I saw a really cool television commercial tonight from Kia Motors that features a UFO and aliens that abduct a Kia car, auto, take it into their ship, drive it into a wormhole, and the car appears on top of a Mayan temple. I just thought that was kind of like a really weird, high-profile kind of a spot for that type of thing, considering most people probably wouldn't even know what that's all about anyway, you know? But hey, my question about the I didn't hear the whole show. I heard you talking a little bit about the New Madrid fault, and my question was, is it expected to go? And if it does go, what area of the country is it supposed to hit, and what is the expected devastation?
Well, the official FEMA devastation projection, $600 billion, and the relocation of, I think, 4.2 million people. The Great Lakes drain, the Mississippi widens to the tune of several hundred miles, and the amount of fatalities is what they're kind of keeping mum on. But in effect, it will dissect the country. Everything east of the Mississippi, west of the Mississippi, whatever it ends up being, is pretty much isolated. And by the way, they also, that Navy map shows most of the east of the coast, 200 miles in, is no longer existing. And California is being the islands, just the mountain chain in California. And it shows the ocean coming in to basically southern Montana, northern Wyoming, and a part of Colorado. Northern Idaho is safe. And a little bit of Washington safe, but it changes everything. Now, why would the Navy put out a map like that? They know better than anybody all the faults, all the subterranean caverns that are under the ocean. I mean, the ocean has been mapped. All of the fractures, they have forms of scanning with satellite technology and tomography, which means they can CAT scan 200 miles deep. They pretty much know how it's going to fracture. And in the last 2 weeks, probably one of the most telling bits of information came out that they're now tying quartz in with earthquakes. And it just so happens that some of the largest quartz deposits in the United States run along the New Madrid. So the thing that's interesting, if you blast a bunch of energy into those with, quote, ancient technology weapons or new derived from ancient technology weapons, you can literally load the fault. The quartz acts as a capacitor. It begins to resonate. As it begins to resonate, it causes a fractioning, if you will, of the atomic matter in specific layers and different types of rocks, and you can help it along. And that's what everyone is concerned with, especially when it comes to quote-unquote tectonic weapons, and what has some indications that the situation in Japan was not a natural disaster.
Well, there's been some talk about that. I don't know, Stephen, but you do feel as if there's some hope at the end here. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, don't you?
I do. I believe that. No, I do. I mean, if I didn't have hope, George, you know, I'd shut up. But I think that you can have hope, and I have a lot of hope. But my hope is not in the goodness of man. I believe man is not good based on what I see. I believe man can be amazing, returned to its original created state, and I believe that only the Creator, the living God, can do that. So my hope, literally, and literally the Bible, I quote one scripture all the time that says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And an exploit even means overcoming the forces of nature. So, you know, people say, well, people sometimes say to me, well, I want to hear all that stuff, you know, but I don't want to hear about God. And I said, who do you think is leading me to tell you the stuff that I know in order that it might point you to God? So there are people that just absolutely, for whatever reasons, hurt, bitterness, anger, or an allegiance to Satan, Lucifer, whatever, simply don't want to hear it. But they even quote the book of Revelation. Not all of those groups, but most of them do. So I think we're living in the most dangerous time in history, and I believe there are answers, but I believe everyone has to personally prepare. Food first, water. They're going to need communications, in my opinion, satellite phone. Even if the United States gets racked and devastated, then you're going to be able to go overseas and get through. I don't think cell phones or landlines are going to work.
Okay, we'll go to Robin in Oakland, California. Hey, Robin, let's squeeze you in real fast. Go ahead. Robin.
I'll tell you, George. Hello? Right.
Go ahead, man. Yep.
Well, Steve and George, it's a pleasure to finally reach you. A good man is hard to find, and I've been waiting for about 4 months to get a hold of you. So you do a wonderful job. Steve, I just wanted to let you know, honey, that I know what it feels like to have your heart hurt with all of the stuff that you know. I was 4 when my aunt wanted to put me in the nut house because I knew all of this stuff.
But you knew this. You knew this at 4 o'clock, Robin. Four,
no,
I mean, four
eight.
Years old.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's a long story, George. Over a drink sometime.
Oh no. Hey, we're almost out of time, Robin. Thanks for the call, Stephen. Let's wrap this up. First of all, you let us know when this new book, Angel Wars: Past, Present, and Future, gets published. Okay.
I will. And thank you so much for the opportunity. And again, I want people to know they can prepare. There are things they can do. Again, finding like-minded people is a very encouraging time, or a very encouraging thing at this point, especially during the times. And my website is Steve Quayle, stevequalle.com. And I would recommend, if people are interested in what I'm talking about, and they can only order it on my website, get the book Aliens and Fallen Angels: The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race. And then Weather Wars will deal with all the weird weather that's going on. And it'll help people to understand. Again, the biggest antidote for fear is understanding. And once you have the understanding, that's what should provoke everyone to prepare. And do not, and here's my final statement, do not trust the United States press or TV. Go overseas on the Internet. Actually, there's so many good sites, and that's what I do most of my time, 18 hours a day when I'm not talking to people, George, is searching the Internet for the stories that I think are pertinent. And again, I'd encourage everybody who is capable to really look at silver right now, because, again, it's not a pitch. It's a way to deliver yourself from whatever happens. And no matter what happens, barter has always been the way that people conduct trade amongst themselves.
Absolutely. Stephen Quayle, thank you so much. Well, everybody, I'll see you on our next edition of Coast to Coast. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.